We're discussing a tshuva of the Rosh and how it impacts on the status of an erva called Eishes Ish vis-a-vis Yibum. Because Tosas Ishit, before we saw the Tosa Rosh, was that this erva of Eishes Ish is unique in the constellation of Arias, as far as Yibum is concerned. Why? Because Tosas claims that this erva of Eishes Ish can simply be removed by a get. And with regard to the framework of Yibum, an erva which has the potential of knocking off the tsara has to be an erva that fits the profile that already when Reuven married this woman, it was clear that she could not fall for Yibum to his brother Shimon. It was built into the original generation, spontaneous generation of the erva relationship vis-a-vis Shimon, that Reuven is marrying a woman that Shimon can't be married to. She's an erva. And that's like engraved in stone. Again, things could happen up in Shamayim, like for example in Achos Ishto and his wife could die, Chas V'Shalom, but we're talking about Bidei Adam. There's no way that Reuven actively could remove the erva relationship between his wife that he's marrying now and his brother Shimon in such a way that in event, through his intervention, Reuven could set up Yibum. That's true for 15. It's not true for number 16. That's how Tosus interprets a Yerushalmi, because in case number 16, which is a case in which Nachshon gave a get to his wife, Chutz Mi Shimon, and therefore when Reuven marries this woman, after Nachshon gave that get, that marriage is already built in with an has a built-in erva called Eishes Ish, but that built-in erva can be removed by Reuven. By Nachshon. All Nachshon would have to do is simply give a get. And since we derive a ptur tsara in erva, tsaras erva, from Achos Ishto, from a paradigmic case where no human intervention could remove that erva, and therefore Eishes Ish is not similar. So the Ma'arit points out that the Tosa Rosh cannot accept this. Why? Because according to Tosa Rosh, it would be impossible for Nachshon to give a get, a second get, and be matir his wife to Shimon. We explained it. I mean, Jeff was pressing me on this, but for now, you know, for the purpose of Ashiya, what we can come up with is that a get can't be matir one person. That's the Rosh. Where he gets that from, we don't know. But now we have to add another point. Well, if he divrei Rosh, I'm reading it inside, ain biyad hamagaresh latira kodem shiyamus echav. Oh, achiv, I should read it. So again, we'll go through the Ma'arit in a minute, but I just want to say at this particular line in the Ma'arit, what he seems to be saying is the following, that why not suggest the possible solution, even according to Tosa Rosh, under which Nachshon could be matir, we'll call her Sarah, to Shimon. How? By remarrying Sarah and giving her an absolute unconditional get. Says the Ma'arit, according to the Rosh, that's impossible. Which is really fascinating. Why is it impossible? Because in the meantime, in the interim, Reuven married Sarah. Nachshon has no power now to issue a get to a woman that's married to another man. again, if, you know, when Reuven dies, but that's already too late, because when Reuven dies, we already have a nefilah for Yibum. So you have to define the nature of the Erev Aveshus Ish at the time of Reuven's death. Is it an Erev or is it not? According to the Rush, it really is an Erev, like any other Erev of the 15, because no human intervention here on the part of Nachshon in this case could possibly remove that Iser Erev Aveshus Ish. Nachshon's hands are tied. He can't remarry her. Hence, he can't be issuing a second unconditional divorce and be mater her to Shimon. So we have a classic Erva. And at this point in the presentation, it would seem that according to the Rush, the Yerushalmi has a question without an answer. We're going to have to find another answer, an alternative approach. But to say that the Yerushalmi's answer was, well, it's now within human reach to be matir, the erva of Eishes Ish vis-a-vis Shimon, that's not really true. According to the Rush, that's not an a valid option, because who could remove that Iser erva of Eishes Ish shel Nachshon to be matir this woman to Shimon in such a way that now the relationship between Reuven and Sarah is such that she can fall for Yibam. There's no possibility. It's mamish like the other 15 arayos. And therefore it should patter up the tzara if Reuven's married to another wife. And now he quotes the Nahar Shraga. I always mean to look up the Nahar Shraga in my book. I have a book of, you know, it's called Beis Akid Svarim. I mean, you can get it online from, I think, Hebrew Books. And probably. But again, I didn't get a chance to do that work. So we'll call it an Ahura Shraga. It's a very good light, a candle. Sha'afim yifarish ha'rosh k'divri ha'tosus lo yiksha lo midivri ha'yishal mi'anal ki nidon zeh im yochol levat al atnai toli b'machlokes iaz linan basar umdino o baso l'shono. So we're introducing here new elements into the equation. Im holchim achar ha'umdino, yesh lanu lomar she'ein bitol atnai dover mechudosh el shezeu mechlal tno she'yia, turning to ayin ches, she'yia gerishin tluyim b'kiyum atnai rakol od hu makpid olav. Now, Rabosa, this really irritates me, because it shows me my ignorance. Because what he's saying here goes against every grain in my understanding of the way Torah operates. But he's saying that when a person adds a condition, a tnai, he always has in mind from the get-go that if his kpeda, which was the psychological baggage or background for the tnai, is changed and he drops his kpeda. In other words, he doesn't want her to marry Shimon. You know, he's got a grudge against Shimon. Marry anybody, but not Shimon. Probably he's jealous of Shimon. Anyway, but he has in mind when he made the tanai up front that the tanai should only be meaningful as long as he has this kpeda, this grudge against Shimon. But for Haya, that he drops the grudge, and Shimon and him become good buddies, then let the get be a full-fledged get, and let's be mevatel the tanai. Is therefore hagerishim tluyim b'kiyum atnai kol oshu makpidol. Again, Rabos, I honestly cannot put this into any framework whatsoever. This is just irritates me to my bootstraps. Yeah, what do you mean? You made a tanai, and then maybe, you know, you're not makpid on the tanai. Avol imazlina nachar lishono bichlal loshen atanai hoishali olam yaakiv agerushin, that this gerushin is withheld as far as Shimon is concerned. Af im lo yirtzabo, even if he decides that he doesn't want to withhold the gerushin, but he set it up, and his loshon is critical. it seems that the Nahar Shraga is putting a t'nai into the t'nai. I can make a t'nai on a t'nai. That the whole validity of the t'nai should be dependent on X. You know, whether the t'nai itself is... You know, imagine you go to a lawyer, you ask him to draw up a contract with a condition, and then you add a footnote that this condition is conditional. And that's called umdana. If I'll be makbid, then the t'nai should be, should incarcerate the chalos, you know, the gerish. But if I'm not going to be makbid, I want to drop it. So forget about the t'nai. That's the way he wrote the t'nai to begin with. But if you go basal lashon, he gave her a get al t'nai, and that t'nai is binding. Hayushalmi. Begitin, hevi machlokus bein Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish, b'misha kiddush ish al tnai, v'nenas milakaymes at tnai. So that he said that this kiddushin should be valid if I return by the end of the month, and he couldn't get back. You know, the bridge broke down. So it could be a machlokes whether in that case the t'nai is chal and therefore the bitul t'nai will be mevatel the kedushin. He didn't come back. Or do we say no? That in this case the t'nai is bitul, the kedushin is valid, even though he didn't fulfill the t'nai because the t'nai is gone. And let's assume, I think it's Reish Lakish who says azlina basar umdana. But Rabose, again, that's a whole different story. That umdana defines the t'nai. When he said imlo basi, it means imlo basi mirtsoni. The lo basi was a result of his decision. He made a positive decision that he's not showing up. But a lo basi because of ones, that's not called a lo basi. Ulechora gamach lo kizu tluya be'im azlina basar umdeno basar lishono umestavish mitzada umdeno lohoye b'dayto lahasnos gamal mikre sheye ones. He didn't have in mind that if I can come back as a result of onus, not as a result of my decision, then the t'nai and the bitul ha'chalos ha'isha should not be chal. V'al pizei yishlomi that yishalmi kan holech b'shitas Reish Lakish, the Azlinan Basar Umdana. Varash Pasuk Shapik Rab Yochanan Shaholchim Achar Lishon. So let's just figure out. I don't get the mathematics here. Does that mean he solved his problem? What was the problem that you showed me? That we should add a 16th erva? And we said it's perfectly aligned and similar to the other 15. The 16th equals the 15th because there's no way that he can get rid of this t'nai. So he's saying now that holchin achar l'shono. I don't get it. If you say holchin achar l'shono, you don't have an answer to your question. Maybe he means, I don't know, it doesn't fit into the printed words here, but maybe he means that you shall me reflects the shita of Reish Lakish. And therefore, Nachshon could come along and he could make a declaration that I don't want this t'nai. Why? Because Azlinan Basar Umdana. And the Umdana was that only as long as I have a grudge against Shimon should this be a chutz, should the Gerishon be limited. But if you hold Holchin Achar Lishono, then that t'nai is sketched, is etched in stone, and how are you gonna solve that problem? You know, right? The Yishalmi has to be based on the premise that he, Nachshon, could get rid of this t'nai. How's he gonna get rid of the t'nai? The t'nai is etched in stone. We're holding like Rabbi Yochanan now, that Azlina Basal Lashona. And there's no way he could remarry her because she's married to Shimon, to Reuven. But the bottom line here is the following, that the way of somehow supporting the Yerushalmi's answer is by saying that he can remove the Tanai. And therefore it's not similar to the other 15 Arayos. So it doesn't patur to Tzor. Okay. Now we get to the Ramban. Now I tried to work on this last night at some ungodly hour. We'll see if we could work this out. Girsha Baila Vihitira Lechola Olam Chutzmea Yavam. So far so good. Shemeacher Shehi Ligabaveshis Ish Yesha Liftar Af Es Saros. Says the Ramban, Nechlak Ayushalmi Ala Bavli. And he quotes a Gemara in Gittin on Daf Pei Gimel, She'af l'Rabbi Eliezer, im girsha chutz mi ploni, v'holcha v'nises li acher, which is perfectly legitimate, v'sgarsha onis almola mimeni. So let's stop here for a moment. Rav Osa, give me your knee-jerk response to this question. Nachshon was married to Sarah, and he gives her a divorce, chutz mi Shimon. And now, Reuven marries Sarah. Now Reuven divorces his wife. Forget about Yibam, right? He divorces his wife. Can Shimon marry this woman? What would be your knee-jerk response?
No.
Doesn't this remind you of Rabbi Shimon in the case of Eishes Achiv Shalohoya Ba'olamo, where Levi was born after Shimon was already miyaben Eishes Reuven? Do you remember that whole scenario? And we said that when Shimon is miyaben Eishes Reuven, the Eishes of Reuven is history. It's gone. Could we say the same thing? Again, this is Berzon talking, not the Ramban, but I just don't want to confuse it. That here too, the very moment that Reuven marries Eshes Nachshon, which he legitimately can because she got a get from Nachshon, Nachshon is out of the picture. And there's a brand new Ishus, such that now when Reuven dies, she, Sarah, Eishes Nachshon, falls to Yibam to Levi, to Shimon, and she's not an Eishes Isha of Nachshon. Why? Because when Reuven's Eishes is Chal, it replaces Nachshon's Eishes. She can't be married to two men at the same time. Again, that's not similar to the case of Rabbi Shimon. The case of Rabbi Shimon is that Reuven died, Shimon was Miyabim Eishes Reuven, and Levi was born later. So there, quite clearly, one could logically argue that the Ishus of Reuven is completely removed. Because Reuven's dead. Here, Nachshon is still alive, but yet I would still insist that his Ishus is gone. She's no longer Ishto, because Reuven married her. Im girsha chutz mi ploni v'holcha v'niseis li'acher v'sgarsha onis arba menu me'ata yimuteres af l'zeh shenesra olam mitchila mishum shal yidei ishas hasheni, meaning Reuven now marries Sarah Eishes Nachshon, his naska me'ishas rishon legamri. He doesn't quote Reb Shimon, but I think it would be two drops of water. Now the whole Yushalmi falls apart. Why? Because liachar shenisseis liach, right, the whole scenario of Yushalmi is predicated on the fact that Reuven went ahead and married Sarah Eishes Nachshon and then subsequently died. Once he marries her, then the Eishes to Shimon is nisnatka. And again, I think the underlying love this is, you can't be married to two, the Jewish law does not recognize being married to two women to two husbands at the same time. Shari liachah shenisseis liachiv, hareini teres af liyivum, liachah mises achiv. So the very premise that underlies the Yerushalmi is antithetical to the Bavli. And the Ramban wants to set up a machlokas now between the Yerushalmi and the Bavli. Let's go over it. According to the Bavli, this whole question of Yerushalmi is out. It doesn't even get off the ground. You can never have an Issur Eishes Ish. Why? Because once Reuven, the brother that will die, marries her, there is no Eishes Ish to anyone else. Nisnatka Eishes L'Rishon. But apparently the Yerushalmi holds not like that. And the Yerushalmi holds that she's still Ishto Shel Reuven, Shel Nachshon, even after Reuven marries her. Which led the Yerushalmi to ask this question, why not add a 16th Erva?
I mean, because Shimon's alive. He's tainted as far as Zara goes because of Nachshon. And whatever Reuven does, I don't think can remove that. Because he's alive.
Yerushalmi.
You're saying, you're explaining Yerushalmi. That the Yerushalmi holds that since Shimon is alive, therefore she remains Ishto Shel Nachshon. I don't follow exactly
what. Right. I mean, because.
But at the same time, you're maintaining that she's married to Reuven. No one's questioning the validity of Reuven's marriage. I believe that even according to the Yerushalmi, the way the Ramban is presenting the Yerushalmi, there's got to be a Tzvei Dinim over here. What do I mean? I can't accept that according to Yerushalmi, this woman, we'll call her Sarah, is married to both Nachshon and to Reuven at the same time. What I think is that the Ishus, I don't know how to formulate it, but the Ishus to Nachshon somehow hovers in the world, the universe of potential, so to speak, of like a, it's a skeleton in the closet. In other words, it's not befall. You know, it's not that he has a kinyan, Reuven has a kinyan on this woman, and Nachshon has a kinyan on the woman. You can't, they weren't partners. There's no partner in a woman, you know. Like my father used to say, you know, I could lend you anything except for my car and my wife. I don't know where you got that phrase from, you know. There are two things I can't lend you, you know.
Right. I mean, in the old days, they used to put these covenants in a real estate contract that basically said you could not, if I sell it to you, you cannot sell it to this type of person in the future.
Right.
So, I mean, that's the same kind of idea here, that covenant. And if, I don't know exactly what happened, if you went and, you know, they said, you can't sell the Jews, you know, you can't sell my house, you know, 20 years from now to, and you violated that, something happened. So there was still some control by that original person because of this covenant that they put in there, which is...
So that's what I'm wondering. It's like, as long as Reuven is alive, Nachshon can't have a relationship with her, he can't claim she's my wife, but once Reuven dies, then that skeleton Ishus of Nachshon now, and again, it's only vis-a-vis Shimon, but it now emerges.
Right. I mean, if you had a title company, they would say, you know, we're not going to give insurance on this because...
Well, it's not just for people. I mean, it's common to have covenants. You can't cut down trees. You can't do this. Right. You can't do that. What's the nafkamina? I don't know, you know.
And they sue for some kind of damages. I don't know if it reverts back.
It might revert back. The violation of the original contract.
So, Bosa, I just want to make a note for myself, if you could make the note, that we're up to Ayin Ches Ubetiritzar Yerushalmi. Because, again, we've just proven that the Yerushalmi is working with a premise that's antithetical to the Bavli, but we still don't have an answer to the Kashya Yerushalmi, why the 16th category of Eishes Ish is not added to Mishnah. So that, in Mitzvah Hashem, we'll try to pick up next week. Which one of these buttons do I press, do you know, to shut it off? Is it this one?
Yeah. Oh.